Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Some of you may be familiar with Jordan Peterson. He wrote a best-selling book called 12 Rules for Living, and I am not here to endorse Dr. Peterson. However, I liked the title, and it got me thinking about rules for living as I pondered this week's lectionary lessons. Jesus offers us lessons for living. Now, that of course gets complicated because then Paul gets into the picture, and Paul has a reputation. Paul is seen as being a bit harsh. Paul is seen as someone who would wag his finger at you and tell you you're wrong. And this passage seems to show us a different side of Paul, because he is talking about the importance of love in our lives. Now, you recall that Matthew in chapter 5, I believe, said that I come not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. So the Hebrew Bible had not been set aside, but it was being reinterpreted. And we see here, when Paul is suggesting that you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, love your neighbor as yourself. Paul is getting to the meaning behind the Torah. Now, the Torah was the only Bible that Jesus had. It was the only Bible that Paul had. And what we call the New Testament was written during the first century and over a period of decades, and was ultimately collected in what is now known as the canon. We don't know what Jesus said. So if you grew up with a red letter Bible, put it back on the shelf. Nobody knows what words Jesus said. There is no audio recording. Nobody was there taking a verbatim transcript. But we can presume that there are things Jesus taught that were so powerful and so compelling that they lasted, that they were verbally passed down from one person to another and were ultimately deemed important enough to write down. And yes, there would have been some embellishment going on. And we see in the Gospel of Matthew, the church is trying to figure out what it's all about. But I'm confident that Jesus said the words, where two or three of you are gathered, I am present. That's really important. And I think that Jesus talking about people treating one another with respect and kindness would have been part of Jesus' MO. So that's what I want to talk with you about today, is how we talk with one another. And it's ironic because right now I'm talking at you. I hope you'll respond to what I'm saying, not calling out during the sermon, but talking to me afterwards about what I have to say. And I'm going to ask you to talk to me. Pick up the phone and call me. Get me a coffee hour. Do not send me an email. Emails are passive aggressive. I don't want them. If you're trying to hash out an issue with a fellow member of the church, the thing to do is to talk to that person. And if that conversation doesn't go well, get a couple of your peers into it. Talk. Listen. Now, that shouldn't be too hard, should it? But it is. Many of us have succumbed to the temptation to write out our thoughts in emails. And we press the send button, and then we felt good because we've gotten whatever's on our mind off our chests. And then it just floats around out there. And maybe someone reads it. And maybe they respond to it. Maybe they don't. And maybe the problem that was small becomes large. It is a risk. And if you think about the early church and what it was trying to do, It was trying to get a group of strangers together to live with one another, to care for one another in an entirely new way. Now, looking around the sanctuary today, I don't see many long-haired hippies. But each and every one of you, each and every one of us is countercultural. We are not doing what the larger society does. And you've taken time out to be at church this morning, for which I'm grateful. And I know each of you comes here for different reasons. Some of you may love the music. Some of you may like the preaching. Some of you may like the people. Some of you may like the space. Some of you may believe every single thing I say. And some of you may be totally skeptical. But you see some value in the church. And the church does teach some things that are really important. So one of the things that we've always valued in our congregation is our ministry to children. And I thank Marcia Corkins for the great work she's done with the kids over the years. And I also want to give a shout out to Nan Parsons, who has ably led the Children's Community Corner over the last few years. Now, as some of you may have heard, Nan is not leading the three C's this year. And the reason was simple. Nan needed time for herself to continue to process the loss of her beloved husband, Larry. And we're a church, and we care for one another. And so we hold Nan in our prayers, and we will give Nan the support she might need. But we need to take care of our kids. So in the weeks ahead, I'm going to be talking with the diaconate, with the council, and with some of you individual members about ways we can get the Children's Community Corner back up onto a solid footing. I don't have all the answers. You don't have all the answers. But hopefully together, we will come up with something that works. Not just for us, but for our children. I know that our kids have really liked 3C's program. We have some kids who have said, it's Sunday morning, I want to go to church. Really? That's a good thing. And if our kids don't learn the things we want them to learn here in church, where are they going to learn? TV? The internet? Facebook? Or whatever the new social media app is? I hope not. Our kids here are learning some basics about getting along with one another. They're learning about how to treat one another. They're learning about taking care of one another. So another book I remember from a long time ago, I believe it was Robert Fulham who wrote Everything I Need to Know I Learned in Kindergarten. It's a good sentiment. Share your toys. Play well with one another. Don't call people names. Seek help. Offer help. We supposedly learn these things and then we go through our entire lives forgetting them. And then we try to learn them again. And that's one of the reasons the church has persisted for 2,000 years. Because we have recognized we cannot do everything on our own. God has called us to work together. So we've got some big stuff to do this coming year. We have to finish our bylaws review. And yes, that is going to happen. And yes, something's going to be brought to the congregation for you to vote on. And yes, we need to talk about a campaign. And I know there are a couple of people here who think, well, we don't need a campaign. We don't have money. We have too much money. Guess what? There's stuff we need to do here. Where there's a will, there's a way. And we can talk about it. We can talk with one another. Again, we don't talk at one another. So again, the irony is I'm up here in the pulpit talking at you. And I'm grateful for the time you give me to do this every week. But my hope is to plant some seeds to get your synapses snapping, so you will think about these issues and bring them to the table in the diaconate and in the council. I would love to see more people volunteer for stewardship. I can't make you do that. I would love to see more people volunteer to help with the children's program. I can't make you do that. I can't make you do anything. The days of Christendom, the days when everyone went to church because that was the expected thing, those are done and over with. The past is the past. Now, I presume that most of you are here because you chose to come here this morning. And I thank God for that. And I thank God for each of you. And some of you have returned after an absence, and it's good to see you again. And some of you have been stalwarts here week in and week out, and it's good to see you too. We've got a big year coming up, and I hope that everybody will be involved with it. And you may think, well, there should be more people in church. It'd be nice. But before you bemoan the fact that we're not a 1,000-member megachurch, remember Jesus said, where two or three of you are gathered, I am present. Remember, Paul was dealing with house churches. And his ministry continues through the epistles. It only takes a couple of us talking to one another, listening to one another, coming back to fellowship time, and later participating in service projects to make some really big, exciting things happen. So I'm going to ask you to open your bulletins and look at that passage from Matthew. And let me just read it to you again. Jesus continued, if another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you, so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. So no offense to any tax collectors here, but you don't want to be a tax collector. And I presume just about everyone here is a Gentile. That's how you were born. You have no choice. But being a Gentile in this passage is bad. You're supposed to want to be part of the body of Christ. And that's a new identity you can adopt by following Jesus. It's not that hard. Jesus isn't about wagging the finger and telling you that you're bad and that you've done wrong things. Jesus isn't about having an argument and carrying the day. Jesus isn't about calling people you don't like libtards or saying they're Nazis. Personally, I find that offensive. I had relatives killed by the Nazis. There are people who have political opinions I think are crazy, but I don't think demonizing them makes any sense. Hopefully our children are learning better. And they're going to learn that in the Children's Community Corner, and they're going to learn it at school, and hopefully they're going to learn it at home. Yeah, we'll all slip up at some point in time. But we don't have to make a habit of it. So Jesus offers us some really good rules for living. Listen to one another. Talk with one another. Try to reconcile with one another. That's really important. Jesus was all about reconciliation throughout his ministry. And the gospel teaches us that God sought to reconcile a fallen world to himself. God didn't need to do that. God could have left us all alone in our sin. And you can define that however you want. But you are not alone. I'm not alone. And if you're looking for something empowering, just remember that the most important, most powerful force in the universe is with you. Think about that. Remember that and carry that with you in the year ahead. Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Holy and gracious God, we thank you for the gift of the church. We thank you for all it makes possible. And we thank you for the people within it, including ourselves. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.